Srila Prabhupada Ki, Bhakti Vaibhava Ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Kiridas Maharaj Ki, Joy Nitoi Gopri Manondi. Okay, so tonight we're beginning chapter 4 of the 6th canto. So the beginning section, the part of the Bhajan was finished. Last night, for those of you who missed out, we did an overview of the 10 offences against the holy name of Krishna. So the lecture is available on the internet, www.iskcon.net/bhaktivaibhava2. Is that right? No, that's not right. Anyway, you know where to find it. So, tonight we're beginning the new section. We'll hear about the pastime of Daksha. Now, the last time we heard about Daksha was where? In Canto? Yeah, we heard about Daksha. Now, Daksha, he left his body. He committed an offense towards Shiva. The demon, whose name was Virabhadra, decapitated him, and he was given the head of a
goat.
So he had a goat's head, which was left there. Sometimes Krishna gives you a reaction. If you commit some offense, then sometimes Krishna gives you a reaction, and you get some scar or some mark to remind you continuously of your offense, to keep you in a humble state of mind. So Daksha, he was given the head of a goat to remind him about his offense to Lord Shiva, even though he was forgiven by Lord Shiva. Then he passed away, and then he is now about to appear once again. So previously he had appeared in a different kalpa, which means in the age of Swayambhu Manu. Now he is reappearing now in this pastime in the 6th canto, and in this pastime in the 6th canto he is appearing in the Chakshusha Manu, or the era of the Chakshusha, which is the 6th Manu as opposed to the 1st Manu, Swayambhu Manu. So he's appearing in a different age. So what has taken place is the Daksha, he has left his body, and then for 5 ages of Manu, he has performed tapasya or austerity to once again purify his consciousness so that he can then perform his work of as a progenitor or to populate the universe. Because sometimes when you commit offences, or if you commit offences, then you can lose your potency. So whatever your advancement you have made, or you can say like your potency as a devotee even, that can be taken away if you commit some offence. So because he has committed an offence, he lost his potency, and he had to do austerity once again to get some spiritual strength, so that now he can perform that activity once again of being a progenitor. So now we'll hear about the pastimes in acting as a progenitor. So tonight we'll go from verses 1 to 17. Now we'll cover a number of verses. There's not so much purport there. There is purport there. So with your permission, we'll go from verses 1 to 17. That was chapter 4. Any points?
Is
either
the same
one or Daksha? Daksha is the son of Brahman. I don't know if it's post or not. Maybe it's the name that this particular sage has got. I don't know if it's a post. Like Manu or Brahma. I don't know if it's post or Indra. Maybe it is. I'm not sure.
Because in the end of this chapter, it's mentioned because he lectured in
but whether or not the it's a post which is there every time in the creation, I'm not sure. It could be, I'm not sure. Any other points? So at the end of chapter 6 we'll have our first exam. Okay. Now we're up to chapter 4. So you have maybe one more month and then you'll have your first closed book exam. And we added another KMV as well. Everyone knows what the new KMV is? There was a new key memory verse that we added last week. Verse 20, is it?
Chapter
22.
19, 20, and
22. Yes, 22 is the new one. So, Canto 6, chapter 3, verse number 22 is your new KMV. So now you have four KMVs. Okay, so please memorize them. Three of them will be on your exam. Three of the four. So tonight we'll begin chapter 4. Okay. The blessed king said to Shukadeva Goswami, "My dear lord, demigods, demons, human beings, nagas, beasts and birds were created during the reign of Swayambhu Manu. You have spoken about this creation briefly in the third canto. Now I wish to know about it elaborately. I also wish to know about the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by which he brought about the secondary creation." Suta Goswami said, "O great sages assembled at Naimisharanya, after the great yogi Shukadeva Goswami heard King Pariksit's inquiry, he praised it and thus replied. Shukadeva Goswami said, when the 10 sons of Prachinabahi emerged from the waters in which they were performing austerities, they saw that many of the Bhakti Vaibhava students were coming late, and that the entire surface of the world was covered by trees. The good thing about trees, they don't come late, they're always there. Not like Bhakti Vaibhava students. Would you gentlemen like chairs? It's free, it's part of the course. Are you really comfortable?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Okay.
You sure you don't want chairs? We have them, so it's okay. Make up your mind. If you want them, we'll get them. If you're happy then. Okay, so we'll read the first paragraph. Yogeshwara Govinda Prabhu, who's always on time.
Text number 4.
Yeah, it's, we'll read text number 4 because it's now 7:54. Oh, sorry. At least she says sorry. Such a well-mannered late student. Thank you so much for saying sorry.
When the king Bali was performing Vedic rituals in which the killing of animals was recommended, Narada Muni, out of compassion, advised him to stop. Prachinda Bali understood Narada properly and then left the kingdom to perform austerities in the forest. His 10 sons, however, were performing austerities within the water, and therefore there was no king to see the management of the world. When the 10 sons, the Prachetas, came out of the water, they saw that the earth was overrun with trees. When the government neglects agriculture, which is necessary for production of food, the land becomes covered with unnecessary trees. Of course, many trees are useful because they produce fruits and flowers, but many other trees are unnecessary. They could be used as fuel and land cleared and used for agriculture. When the government is negligent, less grain is produced. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18.44, Krishi Gorakrishya Vanijyam Vaishya Karma Svabhavatam. The proper engagement for Vaishyas, according to their nature, are to farm and to protect cows. The duty of the government and the Kshatriyas is to see that the members of the third class, the Vaishyas, who are neither the Brahmins nor Kshatriyas, are thus properly engaged. Kshatriyas are meant to protect human beings, whereas Vaishyas are meant to protect useful animals, especially cows.
So what are the points in this opening? program.
There is no proper governmental system involved. Of course, there will be chaos in terms of who looks after what. According to the World National Network, it shows that, you know, the Russians have a certain duty, the Shatriyas have a certain duty. Whereas here, Sachin Bali and even the Britishers, they all left, and it was the whole world was just on its own doing whatever, so the trees and everything grew.
In a lot of advanced development projects, sustainable development, it is good to see that the government might tend to plant trees within houses and within forests. But it would be better actually if those trees were put there rather than just for decoration.
So here in this chapter, especially in this first section of this chapter, we're hearing about how a government should be run. The Bhagavad Gita repeatedly makes this point. Already we've heard about Prithu Maharaja's government. We've heard about, in the very beginning, in Pariksha Maharaja's government, something about Yudhishthira's government, like that. So we're hearing about how society should be governed. Now, the Bhagavad Gita is teaching us this so that we'll have some understanding of the ideal model. Of course, in Kali Yuga, it will never be exactly as it is described in the Vedic literature, in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You won't get that in Kali Yuga. It's not possible to get exactly as it was before. Because the Kshatriyas have to be real Kshatriyas. And even if we have leaders these days, even if they are good leaders and good Kshatriyas, still they won't have the potency to run it exactly like it was run previously. But Srila Prabhupada points out that the duty of the government is to make sure that everyone is employed, engaged. Everyone is acting according to their nature properly. Prabhupada would criticize, actually, the government. Why is there unemployment? It is false. Unemployment is just a false situation. Just like now we have so many problems in the world, just like in Greece. What is the figure? The 20% unemployment they have in that country? It means one in five people. That's why they have so much social unrest, because people do not have proper engagement. So this is the duty of the government, to make sure people are properly engaged. So that means that you need to live in an agrarian society. It means based on food production on the land. Because what has happened in modern times is, you'll see in India and all around the world, that the tractor has replaced 50 men. So then those 50 men will go to a city like Kolkata or Delhi or something, and they won't have proper engagement, many of them will be unemployed, and then there'll be social problems. Whereas Prabhupada points out, and the Bhagavad Gita is pointing out, then you just go back and you live on the land, you grow your own food, and then everyone has employment. Because food is necessary. Prabhupada says you cannot live on nuts and bolts. So the factories are useless, you have all these factories and then you have unemployment, like that. And it is artificial, and people cannot be properly engaged, and then society will have so many problems. As we've given the figure previously, that when America was founded 200 years ago, 97% of the population worked on the land. Now in America, these days, 3% work on the land. So it's completely opposite as it was. Before, 97%, everyone was at least employed and working healthy, and all the food was organic. Even 50 years ago, most of the food in the world was organic. Now if you want organic, you have to go to South Melbourne market, and you have to pay a lot of money. But before, everything was organic. Now it has become false food situation. I watched a very good documentary recently, a couple of weeks ago, called Food Inc. Have you seen that one? Food Inc. Anyone seen that? It's a very good documentary. So many good documentaries these days. Actually, one documentary, I haven't seen it, but I heard about it. They made one documentary in Europe, and all the processed food, because these days most food is processed, you don't get natural food, you know, food is already made when you get it. People don't make their own bread these days, you buy bread and so forth. 50% of the food in Europe is thrown away. Because they produce bread, for example, in the supermarkets and so forth, 50% of it is not brought, and by law they're not supposed to give it to anyone, they can't just give it, so they throw it away. 50% of the food produced. And then we're talking about world hunger problems, or they talk about world food shortage. There's no food shortage, actually. Because the amount, and they gave some figure about the amount of food that is thrown away every day in Europe could feed some country in Africa for a day. So this is the situation which is taking place, so total mismanagement like that. So the duty of the government is to make sure no one is unemployed. And the duty of the government is to make sure that, as Prabhupada points out, animals are protected, cows are protected. So we need to have cow protection programs. This is the government's responsibility. Just like as I was pointing out in the class this morning, the Bhagavad Gita class this morning, Australia is now negotiating to build the biggest abattoir in Australia and outback South Australia. That is our government's present plan. Because they're thinking that we cannot keep up with the live export trade of the beef. I actually heard the figure recently in the last couple of weeks. 50% of Australia's land, so 50% of Australia is used for beef cattle. 50% of our land. Australia is a very impious place. 50% of the land in Australia is used for beef cattle. Right? And now they're negotiating to build the biggest abattoir that they have so far in Australia. It's like a much bigger than anyone they've built so far. Right out in the outback there, so that they can just process the beef and send it across to the other countries like Japan, who buys a lot of Australian beef like that. So our government is meant to have cow protection. That is the duty of the government. So it is the duty of our movement to make a stand on these things. Because even other people are not making that stand. Just like I think I told you that 15 minutes from Hare Krishna Valley is the Buddhist retreat center. So we went around to visit the Buddhists, I think I told you previously. So I went to visit the Buddhists, myself and Veda Priya, and the nun, the Buddhist nun, she took us around the compound, spent maybe half an hour with us talking to her. And as I was leaving, I said to her, I said, are you vegetarian? And she said, you don't have to be vegetarian. She said, it is good if you are, but you don't have to be. She said, more importantly, is that you are a good person. So what is that? You know, what is that philosophy? What does it mean to be a good person? I'm a good person. I'll be very nice to you because I'm a Buddhist, but I eat animals. Or maybe I don't eat them, but it's okay if you do. Like, it's nonsense. So Prabhupada would not compromise these things. No. Prabhupada said no slaughterhouse. He even said the government of India should close all the slaughterhouses immediately. No compromise like that. So this is the duty of the government. Make sure everyone is properly engaged. Make sure cows are protected, all animals are protected, and especially the cows. And then Prabhupada says to produce food. It is the duty of the government to make sure there is enough food. Even a few years ago, they had the G8 summit. You know, they get all the top countries in the world. They had the G8 summit. And Tony Blair, who was the then Prime Minister of England, Britain, then he was saying to the others, what are we doing about Africa? He said, you're all a bunch of hypocrites. Right? All your countries are wealthy, and we have this other country which is extremely poor, and it is your responsibility to make sure they are being fed, all of those people. Actually, there are statistics in... You have to get two chairs, or one there for Manji. Can she sit there? Is Manji coming? Oh, good. You can sit as well, I think. There's another chair over there. Sorry. Are you okay? So, one statistic I heard, what was I talking about?
Executive.
Say it again.
Atlanta.
Tony, oh yeah, okay. So yeah, there's one statistic I heard recently that in Africa, because Europe owns large portions of land in Africa. You know, European nations, they own a large portion of the land in Africa. You know, they lease the land for their food production. So there was one statistical report which was given that in one of the countries where the citizens in that country are starving and dying of malnutrition, then in that country there is a big fence and they pay soldiers to guard the fence so those people cannot get into the food which they're growing there, which they grow there and ship back to Europe. So what is this hypocrisy of all the governments in the world? So many hungry people. Priya Bharata Prabhu, my god brother, he runs Hare Krishna Food for Life worldwide. He gives the statistics. Something like every 2 seconds or something, a baby dies. Something like, I can't remember, or 2 minutes, or I can't remember. It's unbelievable what takes place on this earth. And it's just mismanagement of the government. So we are not having a major influence on the world at this point in time. But we should not compromise. We should understand what the Bhagavad Gita is teaching, what Prabhupada has taught us. And we should boldly preach that to the world until they solve these problems. Food, there should not be any hungry people. Just like they came up with this slogan a few years ago, make poverty history. It will never happen. Under their rule, it will never happen. We have no confidence it will happen. Even though some of them are very well-intended, but it will not happen. Because they have no... They don't have the proper ability or the proper philosophy or the proper commitment or the proper spiritual understanding to make it happen. So a real government must make poverty history, cows must be protected, and human beings must be properly engaged in work. So according to the Bhagavad Gita, this is a proper government. And until the government does this, then they are misusing their position. As Prabhupada says in this section, simply what are they doing? They're simply in it for some power. Prabhupada's very heavy and direct about that. Any points so far?
You mentioned that they should take care of
What would you suggest, Manoj? I will listen to you.
What you said, people eat less food every day.
What is that?
You could eat less food every day and save that money and give it to those countries where no food for life.
Yeah, that's a different point to what he's making. He's talking about cows because we've developed our farm community, so this will be spoken about farm community. We have to sooner or later we have to get cows. It's definitely our goal at least at the farm to have cows and to milk the cows. But the reason I'm hesitant to do it at this moment is the lack of manpower that we have. Because 10 years ago, now we have one cow and one bull left on that farm. 10 years ago there was 40 cows and 40 bulls. And they've all passed away over time. Like that. But then practically all the devotees just got up and left. You know, would you do that to your children? Would you just get up and leave? So until I'm confident that there will be a community there to look after the cows for 20 or 30 years of their entire life, then I don't think we should. So it's a challenge for us to develop a community to get commitment and then to get the cows and then to look after them properly. But it's definitely there, the plan is there, but we need more devotees to live there. It's a difficult situation. If you know anyone who's interested in commitment, then please let me know. We're working on it. Please help us. I think if we work together, we can do something. Okay. Any other points?
I think, unless maybe some intellectuals within Hare Krishna movement take up economics as a serious subject and we want to learn twice on the basis of Srimad Bhagavatam
the way it's describing. Otherwise, the World Economic Forum will come for the change. So there, it is said that if people are, of all people are employed, then it gives rise to inflation and the cost of living goes up. That's a simple theory they have. So therefore, deliberately they keep unemployment so that the wages do not rise.
It's a false economy.
Yeah, so therefore, from within ISKCON, people who have read, or intellectuals within ISKCON, or read Shrimad Bhagavatam, understood very well and have taken economics as a subject, should win one or two Nobel Prizes on the basis of Shrimad Bhagavatam, the way it's suggesting. Then the account order changes because that's the new model that is being proposed, and that may give a shift to the way the economics is being run.
We cannot provide a credible example to the world without basically getting our own house in order.
Getting what?
Our own house in order. We must have vibrant, viable farm communities that are self-sustaining economic models in themselves. In this, we can demonstrate that the Christian world doesn't how it works. It's all in the top of the hills.
The Prabhupada said 50% of my work is unfinished. And basically he was talking about the farms. Because the farms in ISKCON have not become successful. There's maybe one or two farms which are successful. But any other points? I have a Vaishya down there. I need a few more. Okay. Problem with all these guys, they're all IT.
Vast number of people in India still live on farm. Yeah. They still have a cow. They live on a cow, quite a lot. And for most of them, they want to come out. All the children will come or come to the city. And still there can be some of our people in India.
Yeah, still, it's on the grid.
No, I remember an article appearing like a year and a half or two in age paper. They said that if you are living on a farm community, you may not even get a girl as a wife in Australia. They actually give so much of encouragement for the bride, would-be bride, to come and see how the boy, potential boy, is living and what wonderful life they have. They hold that girl and their family for a number of days, but still the girls are not attracted to go there. So is the case in India. If you ask a girl to stay in a village and then they look after your husband, look after the cow or the buffalo,
this is the problem with the world.
There is a girl in India, they are living. They are not hired.
No, but if I'm asked to, if I ask somebody in a village, my daughter Sweta in marriage, I won't believe. They don't be practical. We have to have an economic model where it's possible for a comfortable living, even in a village or in such a community. Only then the parents would be coming forward to give their children marriage or for the last.
So why don't you come and see how I'm living when you come to the park?
Well, no, I've come from that life. As a child, I was born in a village, and I've seen that life, and I found a motivation in that life.
And how the family is better.
Then there is a whole new run out for people to go. People who live have no way to sustain. They will go back to the village. And if they're working, there's no food will be available. They won't be attractive. Unless there's an alternative analysis. It's not viable. No one will be viable to. People are going to go back to farm. So I'm a farmer. I lived 25 years. You know, I did everything. I did the pick up the cows, the eye clothes, the bulls, I look after bulls. We used to be proud of our calves, you know. We have a female cow, he used to be very distressed because we needed a bull to grow. So, because I lived like that. But then we came out, but then when we have a tractor came, Naido, the chapter as well, you know, more electric pump, and they were, you know, more easier. It had to do the diesel and petrol sector. So people, they want to be comfortable. They come and go and work very hard. I still remember when we used to have, maybe five, four cows, two bulls, buffaloes. We used to cart all the bottles on the head. You know, I did have my servants, you know, doing all this. We did have to go in that way.
So maybe you should come down to an underground and help.
I don't know how I can sustain the company. You know, but I still do the farm. I have farm in India. I love to do the farming. I have my farm in India. We do our stuff.
I have a farm here.
I know.
please come.
There is very, well, you know, water here.
No water there?
You know,
yeah, we've got. Let's come and have a look at the farm. Come and have a look at our farm. We've got unlimited water.
And what, in and down and underneath?
Just come. Seriously, just come. You don't know what we've got. We're sitting on a gold mine. We've got only one of the only two affluent water systems in Victoria running under our farm, which never dries out. Water's already pulling, you just come. Water is not the problem. Manpower is the problem. IT is the problem. Useless business. I'm not saying qualified as that. Useless business. I tell you. Okay. Because of having undergone long austerities in the water, the Prachetas were very angry at the trees. Desiring to burn them to ashes, they generated wind and fire from their mouths. When was the last time we heard about the Prachetas? At the end of the fourth canto, we heard of the Prachetas. So now, they've reappeared again in the beginning of the sixth canto, and Daksha, who was in the beginning of the fourth canto, who is also reappearing in the sixth canto. So we're hearing about the Prachetas giving birth to Daksha in a new form. He has a new body now. So we'll read this. I think so.
Hear the word. Indicates that the person who has undergone severe austerity in tapasya and endured the greatness of power has emitted the Prachetas, which gave him power and wind from the mountains. Although devotees undergo severe tapasya, however, they are dimandeva sadhava, which means that they are never angry. They are always decorated with good qualities, rather than treated with the power and wind of the power. They fix the one for any power, so that they are the wind. Ujjata Shakta Vashanita, the sadhu or devotee is not angry. Actually, the real feature of devotees who undergo tapasya or austerity is forgiveness. Although a Vaishnava has sufficient power in tapasya, he does not become angry and good in the world. If one undergoes tapasya, he does not become a Vaishnava. However, one does not develop his qualities. For example, Vinayi Krishna and Rama also perform great austerity. But they did so to demonstrate the demonic of the devices. Vaishnavas must meet many opponents for patient devices of the world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will recommend Siddhi and not become angry by the patient. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given this copy of Prinavati Sumichana Paro Pati Parishana Amanina Nana Deva Kirtan Parai. One should chant the religion of the Lord in the mind of the mind. Only one has gold and stone and spirit. One should be born over the world. Those engaged in preaching the glory of the Lord should be humbler than grass and more tolerant than a tree. Then they will bring the glory of the Lord to the world.
What are the points in this?
The result of doing tapasya is that the person becomes sober. Otherwise, the tapasya has no value.
The
professor leads to the more content. Which means one can do the control of the mind. And the tendency is that you don't know. Both brothers and brothers are so. If one is equal to the senses. So the person who is married to who is strong and genuine, this is the least of the senses.
Tapasya by devotees is different from tapasya by non-devotees. The same tapasya and then the devotees, there is good good quality. The tapasya by non-devotees do not need to be.
If you carry this object, and there's no need to be done, then how do you have to call this?
Those which have to be humble, we cannot preach it and not humble. But even though the Guru Maharaj was saying, if you have four feet, and you tell the Buddha when you preach, he was saying that if you have four feet of the four, your ego will increase the ego in another person. But if you have the ego, if you don't have the ego in another person will diminish. I remember, not that I don't have ego, but at that moment I didn't want it. I was working, suddenly five people they came and I was wondering what to do first, you know, and the sixth person came. And I asked him to give him the medicine card. And I didn't even look at him, I didn't ask him to sit, I didn't, you know, I was really confused what to do. Now it's five already kept here. And I didn't think, you know, and he was so angry with me. He said, please have a seat. Thank you very much. This is how I should have approached him actually, he said. And then I actually looked at him and I realized he was right, you know. And I looked at him and I said, I'm really sorry. You know, I'm really sorry I didn't do it purposely. I was overwhelmed with this and said, really don't do that. And he didn't say one word anymore. He didn't say one word. And then we went into the surgery there. And again, he was not, but before that he was really angry. He was saying in a really angry way, and then I understood he was right. And I apologized, and that was enough.
So, when a devotee does tapasya, it is to please Krishna. So the result is different. Because a devotee's tapasya is different. It is for Krishna's pleasure. Now Prabhupada points out that for the devotee, the main tapasya that he performs is preaching, Krishna consciousness. So he does austerity, but because he is doing that for Krishna's pleasure, it develops all good qualities in his character. A devotee becomes full of auspicious qualities. This is the result of our tapasya, and this is how we can measure the tapasya that a devotee is doing. And if it is having the right effect. Because if your austerity is pleasing to Krishna, the result will be that the devotee is developing good qualities. So we see in those devotees who can do the most tapasya in our movement, just like His Holiness Jaipataka Swami, His Holiness Indradumna Swami, you know, they're doing the most tapasya in our movement, you see they're developing the most auspicious qualities. So many examples of that. Great Vaishnavas in our movement who are performing so much tapasya for Krishna's pleasure. And what is the result? The result is they're becoming so much endowed with auspicious qualities, good qualities. So this is the measure. We see that devotees do austerity, then something positive must come out. And if simply if we're becoming proud, which is often the case, we do some austerity, we do some preaching, we may even be successful in our preaching. We may do a lot of austerity, but then if we become proud or attached to that, then there is something wrong with the application. There is something wrong with our meditation. It means the motivation is not simply for Krishna's pleasure. Because sometimes we do the austerity and we do the preaching, but then we become proud. And then we identify that, yes, I did it. Yeah, I am the preacher. And because of this mentality, then what takes place? We're not developing the positive qualities. Rather, pride is developing and these negative qualities are developing. So, The Prabhupada points out that in order to preach, you must become
humble
and tolerant. In order to be successful in preaching, there must be great tolerance, there must be great humility. We must tolerate like that. So we tolerate austerity when we preach. We try to preach for Krishna's pleasure. Why is there noise up there? Children or something like that? Hey, Aditya, do you want to go up? It sounds like someone's running up there. Do you tell them that? Just tell them Keshava said, if they're running, tell them Keshava said, stop it, or else they come and see me now. Okay. They shouldn't be running. So, a devotee, in order to be successful in your preaching, then you must develop tolerance and humility. Then you'll be successful. Okay. So we need to have that tolerant attitude. If we can develop that, then our preaching will be successful. Now, Lord Chaitanya said, Shranadapi Sunichena, Shranadapi Sunichena. So, Kaviraj Goswami says we must wear that verse around our neck, like our Kanti Mala. It should be our, and Bhaktisanta Sarasvati Thakur said that verse is our Siddha Pranali. It is how we become perfect in Krishna consciousness. It is how we become successful in our preaching. Our preaching becomes successful when we become tolerant and humble. Our spiritual advancement becomes successful when we become tolerant and humble. So this is the key to our success, both in our preaching and both in our sadhana. Any points?
Typically, a person performing tapasya or austerity should take his consciousness from bodily platform to physical platform.
That's
the very important. Yes, sir. Should Prabhupada give us the four fundamentals, which are the basis of teaching his lessons during his teachings. So, whenever the superiority is a means of teaching, which is the main purpose.
Okay. My dear King Parikshit, when Soma, the king of the trees and predominating deity of the moon, saw the fire and wind burning all the trees to ashes, he felt great sympathy because he is the maintainer of all herbs and trees. To appease the anger of the Pachetas, Soma spoke as follows. Gita, can you look up?
It is understood from this verse that the predominating deity of the moon is the maintainer of all the trees and plants throughout the universe. It is due to the moonshine that trees and plants grow very luxuriously. Therefore, how can we accept that so-called scientists whose moon expectations have informed us that there are no trees or vegetation on the moon? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, "Samo Vrikshadi Sattaka Sa Eva Vrikshanam Vaja." Soma, the predominating deity of the moon, is the king of all the vegetation. How can we believe that the maintainer of vegetation has no vegetation on his own planet?
Okay, so any question?
Prabhupada is proving that we didn't reach moon.
Well, he's not proving that we didn't reach the moon.
He's
stating. He's challenging. Any other point? Srila Prabhupada was very bold in his preaching. Right? In the 1970s, Back to Godhead magazine came out, and there were some things in the magazine that had been printed by some of Prabhupada's editors and followers, some of the disciples, which Prabhupada did not really approve of. In other words, they were watering down the preaching. So as soon as Prabhupada read and he saw the article, and if he did not approve, then he said, okay, next issue. He said, tell them we did not go to the moon. Now Prabhupada was very bold and very challenging. Because, as Prabhupada is pointing out here, that on the moon, if the moon god, according to the Vedas, the moon god is Soma, and it is the shine from that moon, from that planet, which is nourishing the vegetables. This is accepted, even in the Western world, in the biodynamic philosophy of growing, which we are beginning to use at the farm. It is understood in many ancient cultures that the moon shine nourishes the vegetables and makes them grow more luxuriantly or better. So that is accepted. So Prabhupada is saying that if the moon is the source of that, and the moon god is the source of that, and he is the lord of all the plants and the vegetables, naturally his planet would be very fertile. Why would it just be a ball of dust? So Prabhupada is challenging like that. Of course, we cannot prove it either way at this point in time. We cannot prove these statements. Because if you get binoculars or a telescope and look at the moon, right, you don't see fertility. You don't see plants, you don't see trees. Right? It does appear to be a dusty crater at this point in time. So we cannot prove these statements. Right? We believe these statements, but we cannot prove them. And similarly, they cannot disprove these statements either. They cannot prove that they went to the moon. So it is both ways. It is challenging. But we tend to believe what is in the Vedas. And Prabhupada is challenging. He's very bold. Well, Prabhupada is very bold. People generally do not make these kind of statements to the world. Especially in the light of modern thinking. But Prabhupada was very bold. He would always push the boundaries. Any points? We also believe that. Any other points?
We do not know whether in the past they have gone to moon, as you said, right? As you said, if it can be a fool or disprove, but in the future they were not able to go because those of them who have gone somewhere in the space have developed health problems and so the future missions are at stake.
Really?
Most of the astronauts who have gone somewhere, wherever they have gone, they have developed a health problem,
necky problem.
So therefore, in the future, I don't think anyone would be willing to go there. So it's only an Akhand Bosch should go and get
them. Okay, next one. O greatly fortunate ones, you should not kill these poor trees by burning them to ashes. Your duty is to wish the citizens, prajas, all prosperity and to act as their protectors. So once again, Bhagavatam is pointing out, Prabhupada is pointing out, what is the duty of the king? It is to protect these citizens. Just like we are having some whaling ships in Australia. They greatly oppose the whaling, which takes place from Japan. The Japanese ships come into the Southern Ocean. They kill the whales, right, and then they take them back to Japan. They say it's for scientific purposes, but they use the meat for feeding people in Japan. They say it's scientific, so they say they have a quota that they run. So then, even the people who dedicate their lives to having these ships which obstruct the whaling boats coming from Japan, but they themselves, many of them are meat eaters. So look, it's just hypocrisy. Right? Save the whale and eat the pig. Right? So it's hypocrisy. And that's what the modern world is like. It's hypocrisy. They say, you know, people get so, you know, worked up about these things. You know, I cannot eat this creature or protect, I must protect this creature. But then Prabhupada is saying that a prajapati, a king, a kshatriya, a leader, he must protect all citizens equally. The plants, the insects, the reptiles,
human beings, the birds, and the animals. They all must be protected. So a real leader, a real spiritual leader, he cannot say, I'll protect one but not the other. Okay. So Kali Yuga is an age of quarrel and the apostles. Any points? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Hari, is the master of all living entities, including all the Prajapatis, such as Lord Brahma. Because he is the all-pervading and indestructible master, he has created all these trees and vegetables as edible for other living entities. So we'll just read that in the...
So much of the predominant meaning of revenge reminded the Kachita that this vegetation has been created by the Lord of Lords to provide food for everyone. If the Kachita tried to kill them all, their own subjects would also suffer, for trees are also required for food.
But Bhagavatam is teaching us the principle of simple living? I think that. Live simpler. What do we need to survive in this world? We need food and shelter. Proverbs says, if you have these two things, then you will survive. You solve the problems of life, the economic problems. You just need food and shelter. Therefore, trees are necessary. Trees which provide us fruits and nuts, like that, and flowers, which we can then offer to the deities. Okay. Unfortunately, like in Australia as an example, as Prabhu was pointing out before, if you go out here on the nature strip in Albert Park, what sort of trees do the council, what do they plant? Yeah. Non-fruiting trees. Right? But actually, a real genuine government would plant fruit trees. So you can just go out on the nature strip. Now you'll see in Albert Park, it's quite common that there are olive trees all around. Why? Because all the people in this area, like the last 50 years who brought here, they were Greeks and Italians. So they went out the front and they planted the olive trees. So if you go down there in Victoria Avenue, sometimes I'm walking from Chaitanya's place up to the temple in the morning, and one morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, two of the old Greek men were out with the ladder and they were getting all the olives off the tree. They probably planted that tree there 50 years ago. And they were out there, two old men, they're getting all the olives to make their olives for their pizzas and their spaghetti and their, you know, like that. So that is the system. So that's intelligence. And when I lived in Adelaide, at the temple, it was in Torrensville, and all around that area was Greeks and Italians, and they'd been living there for, you know, 50 years, like that. And all the backyards of all the houses were fruit trees. And in the house next door to the temple, we had 6 fruit trees. Pomegranate, grape, grapefruit, apple, like that. And there was no one living in that house, so we used to go around the back, into the backyard, we used to pick all the fruit and then offer it to the deities. Like that, because just all around that area, there was fruit trees. So that is intelligence. Okay. Whereas the government these days, they just plant these wattle trees or gum trees, or, which we need also, but not exclusively.
What is principle about the government, even people who have houses that went in their courtyard that went in the street? You know, to speak about government. You have your own land and it's meant.
Because these days we don't need fruit trees, because then we have coals and
coal stocks. And you have to pay, work hard to get a good. She had so good house, she had so many food, you know, whole summer she could only eat and she would give even to everyone else. You know, fully satisfied, whole summer food.
So I think when we finish studying this section of the Bhagavad Gita, I think everyone should move down to the farm. Does it make sense? Clean the notes, does it make sense? It makes sense. But everyone is attached to their IP. You'll only come if you can bring IP out.
Actually, the person who scored the top of the exam should go there.
Okay. I hope you get a good mark, Shaker. So I can just give everyone a good mark and you can all come. How about this? If you get anyone who gets over 80%, they have to come. Is that a deal?
Yes, but many of them will not take the exam.
This is my problem. Oh, Krishna. I don't know if this farm will ever work. It's all talk, actually, because in Kali Yuga it's all talk. Like I was talking to the devotees in Mayapur. In Mayapur we own so much land. ISKCON owns so much land in Mayapur. But every time we want to do any work on the land and grow some vegetables, some sabji, they get people from the village and they pay them to go and do it. The devotees themselves don't do it. And I was speaking to one of the devotees who lives there. The devotees don't like to work hard. Not just devotees, it means modern people. They don't like that kind of work. They think it's going backwards or they think it's too difficult or like that. People don't go and do it. And in our, if you read the report from Balabhadra Prabhu, he is the GBC Minister of Cow Protection in this time. He wrote a report to the GBC about the Goshala in Mayapur. He said 97% of the people who are looking after the cows are not devotees. He said this is a disgrace, actually. He said all of the people looking after the cows should be the devotees. The devotees in Mayapur, they think, I don't want to go and work in the Goshala. Because right. People think, oh, it's too hard, or it's unsophisticated, or people, it's not. So Kali Yuga has contaminated us. So even though we have these farms, ISKCON brought all these farms, there's nothing going on in the farms, because people don't want to live like that. It really is difficult in Kali Yuga. And Prabhupada said 50% of the work is not done. There could be a time in the future where we don't have a choice. Bhakti Prabhu was telling me, you have to get this farm working. Because even if it's not now, it'll be in the future, the people will need this kind of environment. They'll need to rely on that kind of situation. Yeah. But unless it's kind of prepared to do that, so.
Prabhupada, isn't it interesting that naturally people who are looking after cows and buffaloes there are not becoming devotees? Devotees are not trying to take care of cows and buffaloes, but the people who normally take care of cows and buffaloes, they are not becoming devotees. Otherwise,
there
won't be a problem.
They will
take care of
how. Yeah, it could be. We're just not preaching in the village or something.
A lot of people currently working in Krishna consciousness in the late life. They are putting their time to understand the philosophy. But today, in the future, a lot of children take work in India, and they have all these education or understanding of the Veda very early age. They don't have too much time to understand. Then they can, within they can be able to do the call protection. Very young. Now people are busy and understanding very hard. And when you are young, when you go to school, you learn Sanskrit, you learn Bhagavad Gita, and you don't have to put too much pressure on your head. However, we are doing now. We can't understand for that much.
So we have to take the children to the bus. Makes sense.
The children more in the scripture, they should understand very early.
They need to learn how to milk cows and pick vegetables. And that's a good point. Okay. By nature's arrangement, fruits and flowers are considered the food of insects and birds, grass and other legless living entities. Are meant to be the food of four-legged animals like cows and buffalo. Animals that cannot use their front legs as hands are meant to be the food of animals like tigers, which have claws, and four-legged animals like deer and goats, as well as food grains, are meant to be the food of human beings. So Prabhupada is pointing out that human beings are meant to learn to curb their lower tendencies. There's one statement that we came across recently where Prabhupada said, everyone has come to this material world simply to eat meat and have illicit sex. That is the desire of the conditioned soul. the desire of the conditioned soul is to eat the flesh and to engage in illicit sex. So the whole point that the Bhagavad Dharma is teaching us, the philosophy of Bhagavad Dharma is to curb your lower tendencies. Instead of having illicit sex and eating meat and taking intoxication and gambling, you have to curb these things, learn to control these things, develop control of your senses and your mind, and engage in Krishna bhakti. So this is actually the goal of human life. Not to simply eat flesh like that, like modern society is doing. They have no sense control, they cannot control themselves, cannot control their time. Any points?
What about women and goats?
What about?
Well, they say that they are the food for the human being.
Yeah.
Why do human beings have to use their food for the
human being? Prabhupada explains in the purport that Kshatriyas sometimes will hunt the deer, and sometimes they will eat the deer after they have hunted, like that. And then he says that the goats are for the people who, if they cannot eat, if they cannot give up eating flesh, then the Vedas say that, okay, then you can eat the goat. There's some permission for people who cannot give up eating flesh to eat the goat. But as Prabhupada points out in the purport, you should not do it. Better that you eat prasad.
Do they
get reaction? Yeah, of course.
After you
see
the deer?
Kshatriyas do not. Because the Kshatriyas is given permission in the scripture, they're allowed to hunt the deer, to practice their archery, so that they can then protect the citizens. So permission is given to the Kshatriyas. They're allowed to do that. They don't have to, but it says that if they want to, they can. Because they've killed the animal, so then if they want to, they can eat it. Kshatriyas are very passionate, they're very strong. If you eat meat, you become strong. So that sometimes, like, they would kill the tiger, and then they would eat the tiger to become strong. I just said that the Kshatriya is allowed to eat meat. It says in the Vedas, is allowed to do it. You are not a Kshatriya, so you can only eat meat. Okay. So don't buy any deers or any goats. And if you do, then I'll ask your husband what you're doing. Okay? Don't think he doesn't tell me what is going on at home. O pure-hearted ones, your father, Prachinabahi, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead have ordered you to generate population. Therefore, how can you burn to ashes these trees and herbs which are needed for the maintenance of your subjects and descendants? The path of goodness traversed by your father, grandfather, and great-grandfathers is that of maintaining the subjects, prajas, including the men, animals, and trees. That is the path you should follow. Unnecessary anger is contrary to your duty. Therefore, I request you to control your anger. So Prabhupada is emphasizing that to be a Kshatriya means you have to be a protector. Kshatriya means to protect. Literally, it means to protect from harm. So this is the duty of the Kshatriya, to protect others from harm. All the living entities within the universe. So in the absence of proper Kshatriyas, it is ISKCON's duty to protect the animals. So therefore we are preaching, do not harm the animals. So we're educating people to follow a diet of Krishna prasad, say prasad. Prasad means only vegetarian food stuff. You cannot eat anything other than vegetarian food. As the father and mother are the friends and maintainers of their children, as the eyelid is the protector of the eye, as the husband is the maintainer and protector of the woman, as the householder is the maintainer and protector of beggars, and as the learned is the friend of the ignorant, so the king is the protector and giver of life to all of his subjects. The trees are also subject to the king. Therefore, they should be given protection. So once again, Prabhupada is emphasizing that it is the duty of the king to ensure that everyone is properly engaged and has sufficient necessities for their maintenance. Prabhupada also says at the end of the purport, it is the duty of all the householders to maintain the brahmanas and the sannyasis. So that is the duty of the householder. Prabhupada says to give them food and cloth. So it is the duty of the householder. You must maintain the brahmanas and you must maintain the sannyasis. It is the duty of the householder. So therefore in Vedic culture, the household ashram, the grihastha ashram, in one sense is considered the most important. Because it is their duty to maintain everyone else, all the renounced ashrams. So as grihasthas, we have to do this service. You have to make sure the brahmanas are being maintained, and you have to make sure the sannyasis are being maintained in Islam. That is our duty, to make sure there's no anxiety for the brahmanas and the sannyasis, that they are living peacefully so that they can do their service for the benefit of the whole society. So as grihasthas, you have to make sure the sannyasis are peaceful, the brahmanas are peaceful, they can do their service properly. That is how you become purified in your ashram. Any thoughts?
That used to be easy for one. I still remember my childhood. Anyone coming and coming, we used to have bins, or huge bins with grain. Anyone coming in front of the house, you take a cup or bucket, whatever the size, grain, and then you leave the person who will come. So that was a cult from the village.
Any other point? The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated as the Super Soul within the cores of the hearts of all living entities, whether moving or non-moving, including men, birds, animals, trees, and indeed all living entities. Therefore, you should consider every body a residence or temple of the Lord. By such vision, you will satisfy the Lord. You should not angrily kill these living entities in the form of trees. So Prabhupada points out that unnecessary violence, it dissatisfies Krishna. When there is unnecessary violence. So even trees should not be cut down unnecessarily. There was one temple in America, and Prabhupada came to visit the temple. And there was a tree, a large tree, which was very close to the temple. And when you walked around the corner of the temple, you had to like duck down underneath one of the branches of the tree to like that. So then next time Prabhupada came to the temple 1 year later, the devotees had cut down the tree. And Prabhupada was very upset. He said, why are you unnecessarily cutting down the tree? What harm was the tree doing? Just because it was causing a little inconvenience, then you will cut down the tree. So this is the mentality in the modern society. They'll just cut down any tree, or just kill any insect, or even just kill any animal. And they'll think, oh, there is no harm like that. But as the Prabhupada quotes in the Bhagavad Gita, Mahimsa Sarva Bhutani, that we should be practicing ahimsa towards all living entities, even to trees, they should be protected. Unless it is necessary, then you cannot cut them down. Actually, Manu Samhita says, even a poisonous tree, if it is old, it should be protected. So any tree. That's why you see in India, if the tree is old, they don't cut them down. And you see the tree is growing in the house, or it's growing, you know, virtually, the tree, if they're old trees, they won't touch them. Because it is understood that these trees are to be protected. Manu Samhita says, even if it's a poisonous tree, not an auspicious tree, but if it is old, you should not cut it down. And actually, India is in big problem now because they haven't reforested. many countries in the world are reforesting, but India has not, they're only starting to do it now. They caused themselves a big problem. They cut down so many trees, and now they have a serious shortage of forests. Now they're beginning to grow the trees again.
They are big for planting trees for a long time. But to give them money, nobody can't take it for the money. They work for the plan for a long time. So they come and plant a tree, and people will take the money, and they don't want it. That's what happens. Even if they give them money, they don't want it.
Bharavashti.
So I've been to New South Wales last couple of weeks ago. There's a place in Stillwood, it's a small town. There's a paper manufacturing company there, and the person who's a friend of us, he said that he works for the company. Every day they cut 4,500 trees to manufacture the paper. So that happens every day. So not just,
in New Zealand, because New Zealand has started to cut down a lot of trees, in New Zealand, in the last few years, they've started planting more trees than they're cutting down. And down in, turn your phones off. Right? You should know all this already. Turn your phones off. And then in, near the farm where we live, that part of Victoria, southwestern Victoria, that is a very, it's one of the main areas where they log trees in Victoria, where they cut the trees down. But in that area of Victoria, they're planting more trees than they're cutting down. At least now in Australia and New Zealand, they're planting more trees than what they're cutting down. So at least now they're understanding the principle. And there is reforestation, or there is a plan for the future. But generally we should not cut down trees unless necessary.
Should we not say that computers to J?
What is that?
Should we not say computers J?
Computers job?
Because
the use of iPad and computers will reduce the cost of things. We could probably have a discussion about that. But you know which way I'd argue on. I'd have to try hard to defeat your own. You already know my computers. I don't use a computer. I don't know how to use computers. I don't even have a mobile phone. These things are not necessary, and I don't think they've done good for the world. So I don't think we could argue. I mean, the world's not going to go back now. They have their place, but I mean, they should be seen in moderation. I definitely wouldn't argue that they're a good thing. There's something that's there now. Okay, let's use them. But okay. One who inquires into self-realization and thus subdues his powerful anger, which awakens suddenly in the body as if falling from the sky, transcends the influence of the modes of material nature. There is no need to burn these poor trees any longer. Let whatever trees still remain be happy. Indeed, you should also be happy. Now here is a beautiful, well-qualified girl named Marisha, who was raised by the trees as their daughter. You may accept this beautiful girl as your wife. Sukadev Goswami continued, my dear king, after thus pacifying the Prachetas, Soma, the king of the moon, gave them the beautiful girl born of Pramlocha Apsara. The Prachetas all received Pramlocha's daughter, who had high, very beautiful hips, and married her according to the religious system. In the womb of that girl, the Prachetas all begot a son named Daksha, who filled the three worlds with living entities. So Daksha performed tapasya, as we heard in the beginning of the class, for five mandantas. which means for five kalpas or a very long time. Remember he disappeared when Swayambhuva Manu appeared? So Swayambhuva Manu was the first Manu. Now he has reappeared in the sixth Manu, whose name is Chakshusha Manu. So what was he doing for five Manus? It's a very long time. For the life of five Manus, he was performing tapasya in another body. To re-qualify himself to becoming a progenitor. So we should also perform some tapasya so that we can become qualified to perform our service, which has been given to us by our spiritual master. And if you do tapasya and you become, if you develop tejas, or means potency, then you can do some service for the guru. Just like our guru has done austerity, performed tejas, now he can do service for his spiritual master, Shilpa. So we'll stop there. Next week we'll continue with this section of the Bhagavad Gita. Shilpa Prabhupada.